Can you let me know right now, please? The Anita Applebaum.
Yeah. That's a jam.
Anita Applebaum.
That's a jam right there. More like Norv Turner, you gotta put me in. Norv Turner, you gotta put me in.
Put me on, coach.
Hey everybody, this is Garage Sports San Diego, and this is your co-host Paul, along with...
Yeah, Fernando here, aka Portugal.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's been a busy, busy week. There's a lot of stuff going on, especially this past Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. They finally...
got some rulings over at the Penn State area there.
They layeth the hammer. The Thor hammer on Penn State.
The Thor hammer.
Oh, yeah. It's not trademark. So let's just throw that in there. But yeah, dude. So what do we got here? They sanctioned $60 million, a four-year college bowl ban, and a scholarship reduction. And the scholarship, I was reading into it, is actually... they want to reduce it from 10 initial to 20 scholarships each year reduction for football, which is a lot.
It definitely is a lot. Like when I saw the sanctions, I thought, you know what, the student shouldn't really be punished because it's really the coach's fault and the management and the leaders of the school that should be more punished than anything. But I guess they're trying to send a message and make sure that the punishment is harsh enough so that no other school, you know, even thinks about doing the same thing.
Yeah, because I was really thinking about why they wanted to do a $60 million fine on them. And I kind of felt bad because I see the ban is actually legitimate as far as, like, showing, like you're saying, to the other schools that we won't take this crap for anything. If you're going to do some stuff like this, we're gonna fine you. Find you a shitload of money. You're going to get scholarships reduced. And I was just kind of mad because you got to think about it. $60 million is a lot of money. And I understand that, okay, football does make a lot of money. And Penn State is in a BCS conference league in the Big Ten. But where does that money really go? Money is spread out. Now, I know majority does go to athletics for new facilities, which is why I kind of understand it. But... what about the students for the new buildings, like a new science building, more classrooms, more money to teach more students? Because, shit, in California right now, we're on a low budget here.
Yeah, I mean,
even Penn State, I feel bad for them, man, for the students, actually, not for the staff or anybody, the students.
That definitely sucks for them. But, you know, it seems like they had it well thought out because their other choice was to do the death penalty, so-called, where they just got completely rid of the football team. I don't know if it would have been for just 1 year or for how long it would have been, but that was another option. So they figured, okay, that will probably really, really throw them back a lot more. So they figured this would at least be harsh, but at the same time allow them to survive. The thing I like the most about this is that they're giving the players a chance to transfer without penalty.
Yeah, that's really, really good right there.
I've never seen that happen before. So, I mean, any player that just wants to say, okay, I don't like the values of the school anymore, like, I want to leave, they have the option to leave and they don't have to sit out. They can just play right away with another team if they wanted to.
Yeah, because... my thing was, I was really happy that, because I was thinking about, okay, they do that death penalty, it doesn't make any sense, like you're saying. And you're going to take a full year off for players that got molested? That's why it doesn't make sense, whereas like SMU got the death penalty because these players were given like brand new cars to drive around in, which is why SMU got the death penalty and their national championship revoked. And then Penn State, they didn't get it because the players weren't part of this, it just happened. And on top of that, the players being able to transfer is actually gonna not kill their football program, but the program's gonna lack for a while, dude. They're not gonna be a prestigious football program for a while.
Yeah, I've been hearing interviews with their new head coach. I'm forgetting his name, but he was with the Patriots, and he's been talking about, okay, they asked him, how do you convince your players to stay on your team? And his main like arguing point was that, okay, we still are going to have like at least 6 home games where it's going to be jam-packed with over 100,000 fans in the seats. And he's like, where else are you going to be able to get that experience? You know, that's something that is still really, really powerful. And you know, a lot of students should will cherish, because that's over 100,000, you know, six times a year. That's still pretty impressive.
Yeah, man.
Even without the bowl games and the championships, you know.
And I think their Penn State's top running back, what's his name, Silas Reed? He's considering to go to USC, and he's only a junior.
Yeah, he's getting heavily recruited by Lane Kiffin, even though I don't think he has admitted it publicly yet. But it's pretty obvious that USC has a void in the running back side of things. And he's available, and he did pretty good. Last year was his breakout year. And since he is available, they're going to be talking to him, and USC is hoping that he transfers.
And it's pretty crazy, dude. So now these players are allowed to transfer, like, right away and play right away and not sit out a year. And they're ESPN and not everybody, but they're kind of trying to figure that out, because they have all these coaches and scouts from different schools that are waiting outside the players' dorm rooms in the cafeterias. And they're they're basically stalking these guys, like, hey, where are you guys going to go? What are you going to do? Hey, you want to come play for us? It's cool, but it's kind of like, damn, man, that's all. It's like a
nanny, man. a lot of attention from the media. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunate, too, because it stemmed from, like, a, you know, I want to call it, like, tragic events. But, you know, media is going to be there. Media is going to do what they do, and it's something they have to deal with. But it shouldn't be too huge of a distraction for those who want to stay, and even for whoever wants to transfer.
Yeah. Well, Penn State, my heart goes out to those players, though. You know, the ones that are actually going to stick it out through their senior season. And I don't blame them. You're playing, this is your fourth year, your senior year. You want to stay with the team that you've been throughout your whole collegiate career. And my heart goes out to those guys, and I hope they do actually have a great season and you know, actually do well.
It sounds like, even with the sanctions, even with the penalties, it sounds like they should be okay, because there's a very passionate fan base. I don't see it going away, really, even without the bowls.
Oh, of course not.
I still see them surviving. They may not be as, like, in terms of the power rankings, they may not be up there every year, but they should survive it, and they should be back in contention but you know, when this these penalties are done.
They will, but they'll always be known. They seriously will always be known, even like 50 years from now. Their national championship or whatever, they're always going to be known as the school that had a molester.
Yeah. I mean,
Chester molester. That sucks, dude.
It does. But, you know, at the same time, it's kind of their own fault. You know, that's what happened when they put, you know, certain people in front of others, because I guess because Paterno supposedly was untouchable, and, you know, they wanted to protect the school's name or et cetera. But they really obviously did a horrible job there.
Paterno, he's probably getting too old. He even know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
I'm even wondering if he was even in control of the team at the time, but guess he was.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's go on to UFC 150 with Uriah Faber and Morrell.
Yeah, just doing a recap since we did promote
Burrell.
Yeah. It pretty much played out exactly how we figured it would.
Man, I was definitely, dude, I was rooting for the Uriah California kid. Come on, dude.
Yeah, I was fighter. Too. I was hoping he would pull it off, but you know, he did his best. I mean, I think his one option was to distract Burrell, because he looked like he was doing a lot of like feints and a lot of like kind of trying to move around and see if he can get Burrell off guard.
Yeah, hesitation is what I saw, man. This guy was hesitating to sock him. I was like, dude, swing.
Yeah, but it was mainly because Burrell, I mean, that guy had a game plan and he stuck to it. Like, he knew he had a physical advantage in terms of reach, kicks, and he was like, defensively, he was good. Like, I mean, he was really focused. He was really like, man, I mean, it was kind of boring that Burrell didn't do, like, take any risk, but he didn't have to, because he was just winning, just doing his game plan, just taking it.
He was connecting a lot of leg kicks and hand blows to the face.
Yeah.
And apparently, I think Uriah Faber broke a rib too.
Oh, yeah.
One of the leg kicks straight to the ribs.
Yeah, yeah. During the post-interview, he mentioned that his ribs were hurting, that he thought one of them was broken.
And Uriah did. He tried to take him down, but he couldn't get him down on the floor. Burrell was just... He's an up-and-comer, man. He's the new one.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. Those Brazilians, man, they're starting to rule the UFC right now.
And he's going to be he's an interim champion right now, but... Yeah. He's going to get the belt from Dominic Cruz very soon, I think.
Yeah, because Cruz is going to... I mean, I don't see what else Cruz can do that Faber wasn't able to do. But, you know, it's still a different fight, so never know.
And Uriah Faber, you're definitely going to be one of those fighters that... he's going to be an undercard fight from now on if he's going to continue to fight. But I don't think he'll be a main event for a while again. This was his last chance, in my book.
Yeah. His biggest fight now is probably just a rematch with Cruz. Even if it's not for, like, a championship, he'll probably just at least want that just to kind of settle the score. Because I think Faber win the first one and then Cruz the second one. So that's, like, it's probably his only big fight left is that third fight against Cruz.
Do you know Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell?
Yeah, no. Nah. Yeah, they should just stay retired. It's, you know...
But
they're done.
But the the co-main event wasn't that bad either. Yeah, the Tim Bosch guy, big kind of fat looking white dude.
Yeah, he looks like he
versus
shouldn't be...
the judo Hector Lombard.
Yeah, yeah. Bosch looks like he had like a couple beers like during training. Like he was just he had that gut going. But
Roy Nelson, like the Burger King Roy Nelson.
But yeah, but he can fight, man. He was really he was supposed to be a big underdog, and he gave this guy Lombard a lot of trouble, and Lombard was supposed to be like, he's supposed to just overwhelm him and just win easily, but you know, Bosch, he hung in there. I honestly I thought he probably did enough to win, but it was a split for Lombard.
Yeah, Lombard was, he was the, I think he only had 3 losses out of like 32 matches, so he was coming in as a hype. Everyone was talking about him. This guy was an Olympic judo champion.
Yeah.
So they were talking that this guy is going to annihilate Tim Bosch. And then I think what happened was Lombard was like afraid of Tim Bosch's wrestling background because he tried to take him down twice, but he couldn't really take him down. He's a big dude, and Bosch just grabbed him right away. And then I think he was surprised by the strength that Bosch had, and that's when he started to back away, and maybe his nerves started kicking in because this was his biggest fight as a co-main event.
Yeah. It's funny because if you look at their physique only, Lombard looked like he could be in the movie 300. Like he was just like ripped, like muscular ripped. Then Bosch looks like he's like a pitcher in the major leagues, like David Wells with the big, big gut there. And
drinking a Coors Light, Brock.
Yeah, I know. It seemed like, you know, what the hell's going on? But no, man, Bosch, I guess wrestling, those wrestling skills, they play well in the UFC.
Yep.
And he was doing pretty decently with the stand-up, too.
Wrestling skills. I'm talking about you, John Bones Jones. Got a mean-ass wrestling skill. On top of that, he's getting known for his striking. That's what's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see that guy fight soon.
Bone Jones, yeah.
We want to go over to MLB talk now?
Yeah, there was like a Hall of Fame induction. Barry Larkin.
Oh, snaps.
Made it in.
Mr. Red.
He looks like he was an obvious Hall of Famer to me.
He's not a blood. I'm just calling him Mr. Red. He played for the Cincinnati Reds, all right?
Yeah, he's not a blood.
No gang relation
here. For all the scripts out there, Liam Malone.
Barry Larkin. He was he started at the 1986 for the Reds, and he ended his career in 2004.
Yeah.
Damn. Dude, that's a long career for the Reds.
Yeah, oh, man. He's had a lot of longevity.
What is his accolades here? This is why he got elected to the Hall of Fame. Damn, he's a 12-time All-Star, a World Series champion, 3-time Gold Glove winner, 9-time Silver Slugger Award, NL MVP, and a Roberto Clemente Award, along with Lou Gehrig Memorial Award. Dude, this guy had everything.
He definitely had the credentials to be a Hall of Famer, and he deserves to be in. So that was a good pick.
He gets the official Garage Sports San Diego stamp right in there.
Stamp of approval right there. And the other guy inducted is Ron Santo.
Who?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said, too.
Who? Ron Santo. Dude.
Yeah, Ron Santos sounds like an old school like you know porn name or something. Like Ron Santo or just Santo. Or like
Ron Jeremy's brother.
Yeah, no.
Long lost cousin.
Or like a gringo brother to Santos from the Lucha Libres. Yeah, but he has a cool name.
His pitcher, I mean, the other one did not do him justice, man. The other pitcher, Ron Santo.
Yeah, because we were looking him up, and there was like a recent picture of him because he played mainly in the 60s
with the Chicago Cubs, the Cubbies.
Yeah, and there was a recent picture where he was looking like John Candy in Spaceballs. As barf.
Barf.
Dude, yeah, he looked pretty pumpkinish, pumpkin face. But he's a Hall of Famer now.
Yep.
Inducted as a Cub, and I mean I don't know a whole lot about him, but.
Yeah, he's a 9-time All-Star, 5-time Gold Glove winner, and Lou Gehrig Memorial Award winner. And, of course, they don't have a ring, so I wasn't even going to say World Series.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. How many World Series? Oh, yeah, they're the Cubs. Yeah,
they're jinxed. Just like our Padres, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The talk of the Hall of Fame, though, was not just Barry Larkin and Ron Santo getting in, but next year, who's going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame now.
Barry. Yeah. Barry.
Yeah, big head, Barry Dude, Bonds.
Man.
And I mean, he's and also punk, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, and then Mike Piazza, and I think Jeff Bagwell's been eligible for a while now. And,
was Mike
and,
Piazza on that list? That famous list?
Mike Piazza never came up, actually.
Oh, good. I want that guy.
He's legit. He's supposed to be the greatest power-hitting catcher of all time. I don't know if that's enough to get him in because overall his numbers aren't that great, but because he's a catcher, his numbers are great. He might not be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but it sounds like he should be, but he might be like maybe second year.
They should make like the fucking All-Star game. Fucking let the fans vote again. Fucking everyone's gonna vote for a Yankee in Boston.
Yeah.
God, it's fucking
a lot of Giants in there.
Nah, they won't vote for Barry. I think they're all pissed off too. Like he's a great player. They're glad they had him, but as far as the Hall of Fame, you gotta vote differently for this.
There's definitely for those who juiced up, it's definitely competitive advantage. I mean, even if they say that, okay, well then most of them were probably on steroids.
Steroids.
But still, that doesn't, like, there's still some players that were clean, so that's still an advantage over the ones that were clean. And it's still cheating, you know? So if he does get in, because he's one of the best players of all time, even if he did cheat, he was one of the best of all time. So if he gets in, I like the idea of having that asterisk on there, just to at least remind everyone, look, this guy was juiced.
Yeah. I mean, Barry Bonds, the only game I remember going to was the last game he played at Petco, and we had this, they had the, was it inflatable syringes?
Oh, I remember that.
Dude, fans, everyone would just bring like these big old plastic inflatable syringe balloons.
Yeah.
And just wave them and talk so much shit over left field. Dude, he was so pissed that they would start throwing the stuff on the field and they would have to like call a timeout and go pick it up.
It was funny because San Diego's not really known as like a town. That would do such a thing. That like I mean that sounds more like Philadelphia kind of deal, but
because it's always sunny.
But yeah, because the Padres they seem to just hate the Giants fans. Some of it has to do that when they have a home game here. A lot of times there's a lot of Giant fans at the Padre games here in San Diego.
Snotty
and obnoxious and.
Wilson.
I can see why the Padre fans would want to just do something to kind of rile up not just Barry Bonds but all the other Giant fans that are probably there in attendance. But yeah, that was funny. The inflatable syringes
was always there.
Yeah, man. I like to think that that's what made him retire because he didn't want to deal with that anymore.
Yeah, he probably wanted to go sleep with his couple mistresses he had on the side.
Yeah.
Adultery asshole.
And I kind of had I wanted to throw in like a funny story, kind of cool story. And I found a way to make it fit. Me and my buddy Paul here, when we were kids, we would play street football, football.
Yes, we would.
On the street against our neighbors up the hill.
Kick that ass over there.
And we remember always like winning. Like we will always win, even though like these like they were like older. Like
these are some big ass white guys, man. They were pretty big, like, dude.
Older, and they're on the football teams over at the local high school nearby. And we would always win. And then I remember one day where they finally like kicked our butts. It's like, how the hell did it? This all of a sudden they get good.
And we're pretty slow though.
As I got older, I realized, you know what? I think every time we go up there and play, they were high as hell.
Dude, I was like 12, man. I remember I was like 12. You guys were like in your teens, and I was slow. Yeah, and
but I mean, I was clueless.
LVP,
back then,
your least valuable player.
But now I realize they were high as hell. So I was saying that if we were in the touch football Hall of Fame, we would have to have an asterisk because our opponent, we had a competitive advantage over our opponents who were always high.
Yeah.
And so that's what, and that's how I kind of related this to the Barry Bonds needed an asterisk because he had a competitive advantage over everyone else.
So we're not getting in the Hall of Fame then.
Yeah.
No, that sucks. Yeah, that's garbage.
No, we're going to be in there, but that asterisk will be on there. They're only in because their opponents were
high. I
don't
want that label. We were good. At least I thought I was garbage.
Yeah, we thought we were like all-stars. And it was like, oh, man, we're beating these high school football guys. But they would just get high before they would play us. And, yeah. And it was funny because they were always really friendly. They were never really competitive. Yeah. They were just like, oh, yeah, we lost. That's cool. Whatever.
They were just in a different world, playing on like inclined fucking streets. We didn't play right, but we just played when we could, and we won football cards because of that. A couple of them were good. Jerry Rice, I don't know, I'm just throwing a couple in there.
Yeah, and so the same thing goes for Roger Clemens. I don't see Sammy Sosa getting in, even though he has over
corked bat, like his wine.
Yeah, corked bat, and then steroids, and then all of a sudden he's white now.
Mike Jackson.
Yeah. So even though he has over 600 home runs, I don't see Sosa getting in. I want to see Piazza get in, and then Bagwell. He's one of those like borderline guys.
Reminds me of Buff Bagwell from WCW.
Buff Bagwell. Yeah, I remember that.
Ex porn star turned WCW wrestler, part of the NWO for life.
The other thing going on in baseball is they're getting close to the trade deadline, and there's a big trade with the Marlins
and the rivals over here, LA Dodgers.
Dodgers. What do you think about that,
dude? I think the Marlins are kind of giving up on their season, dude.
Yeah,
they had the biggest hype coming into I think this upcoming season, and it just inflated totally because of the resurgence of the Washington Nationals now. Yeah, and the Atlanta Braves are just completely taking over the division.
Oh, and yeah.
The Marlins are good, but they're not good enough, and they're just not going to be able to catch up. I wouldn't be surprised if they're done right now and don't even compete for the wild card. Because they still can compete for the wild card, but it's going to take a lot of wins, dude.
It would take like a complete turnaround because a lot of their signings are struggling. Like a lot of their signings are not having like a normal year of what they were expecting to have.
Yep.
And so, they're looking to trade off a lot of players, get rid of some salary. And it's funny, too, because the Dodgers, they took on Henley's, like, full salary. Like, they didn't ask. I don't know if they did ask or not, but the Marlins, they didn't have to give him any money at all. So, you know, Marlins, they got a pretty good deal there because they're saving money. The prospects they're getting probably are not that highly rated, but at least they're saving a bunch of money. They're getting some nice prospects that can maybe surprise and perform well.
It's gonna be a good turnaround for the Marlins right there.
Yeah,
easily. They're the winners as of right now. But if the Dodgers, who got Hanley Ramirez in this trade,
at the very least, he upgrades
the reason why they're 2.5 games behind the leaders. So right now they're in contention for the playoffs. So they're in that do or die mode right now. Which is why they picked him up.
Yeah, they had to do it because they had, I think, Jerry Hairston playing third base, and he was making a lot of errors. So just Ramirez's defense alone should give him at least like an extra 2 wins.
At least.
And if he surprises and starts to hit, then I mean that might be like a great pickup, like the turnarounds for the Dodgers. So, I mean, that was a good trade. There's some other trades that are maybe being rumored out there. especially now that the Yankees lost Rodriguez to the hand injury after being hit by Felix. He's probably out for the rest of the season, so the Yankees are looking for a third baseman.
Yeah, and they're looking at our fellow Padre, Chase Headley, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, the Padres want a lot of money for Chase Headley because pretty much we're trying to rebuild our own organization. If we're going to get rid of one of our good players, then we're going to have to get a lot in return.
Yeah, they're asking for a lot, especially since the Padres, they just signed one of their power hitters, Carlos Quinton, to a multi-year deal. So they're probably thinking we still control Headley for a couple of years. Now that we signed Quinton, if we just add maybe a few pieces here and there, we can maybe compete next year. So they're asking for a lot for Headley, and I don't see the Yankees being able to give enough to take him.
All right, guys, we're gonna take a quick break. No music right now, no internet.
Oh, we got Wi-Fi. We got this. We're gonna put it back on with a little bit of Bonita Applebaum.
Oh, you found it. Oh yeah.
Take you guys off for the little break that we're gonna have. We'll regroup, bring it back.
Yeah.
Ooh. You gotta hit play again.
Yeah, let's go to break.
Yeah, peace. Little technical difficulties. We'll be back. Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah.
Here we go. Check.
The rhyme. Dancing over here, dude.
Doing the running man.
Do some push-ups now.
I know. We're saying that.
Do some up-downs. You know why? Like a training camp, man.
Yeah, there's some burpees.
I sure as hell know Norah Turner's not going to tell me to do burpees.
I know.
That quiet asshole.
Yeah, does have that rep to being a bit quiet and just like stoic.
So. Yeah, like stand to the side and cause little plays from his Madden 2012 playbook.
I definitely heard there was like a sports radio show that they were talking about how Norv was probably critiqued in the offseason by AJ, how he needs to be more like probably louder because he's been screaming a lot more in training camp is what the word is.
Yeah, because AJ is about to lose his job if he doesn't step up right now. Yeah. He's part of him and Norv are a package deal right now because in my opinion, this past year was a decent draft. This was one of those drafts which I was actually proud of, especially getting Melvin Ingram in the first round. I can't wait to see what he does this season, and if not this season, at least for the next couple of seasons, because it looks like he's going to be prepped and ready for the NFL.
Yeah.
That was a steal. And we're only talking about this because training camp started yesterday.
And the other theme. Yeah.
Football.
The other theme that Norv is trying to implement is urgency. Like, not just him yelling, but he's trying to convince everyone to put some urgency into the training, into the production of this NFL season. So, we'll see. We'll see what benefits that has. But training camp is starting. I can't wait till they open it up to the public. I want to go check it out.
I think the Fan Fest is August 4th, next Saturday. And it opens at 9:30 a.m. and I think the full practice begins at 11 or 10:30 and it ends at 12.
You know, it's funny. I have my reserve duty that day, but I'm going to be like
for the country,
like two blocks away because our reserve duty is like pretty close to the Chargers park. So I might see if I can sneak out over there in uniform. That'd be kind of weird, but I wouldn't mind just going to check it out.
All right, man. They'll hook you up.
Yeah.
You're helping our country out. You're patriotic, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, training camp. I remember we used to go there back in the day as kids and ask for autographs.
Dude, remember we got Drew Brees.
Brees, Mercedes Wiley.
And the only reason why I got Junior Seau's autograph, rest in peace, brother. But the only reason why I got Junior Seau's autograph was because there was this kid right next to me. Yeah. And like he was like almost, you know, he's like a small kid, but I was still young too. But he did. Junior kept going down the whole line, but he made a priority to get to that kid because he was the youngest.
Yeah.
So he went down the line and he got to the kid, and I was right next to him. And he gave me a hug. I was like, yeah.
And I remember Doug Flutie being out there, and how we were like almost taller than him.
I was like only 14, dude.
Yeah, you're definitely taller than him.
Still got that jersey too. Yeah. I still don't wear it because it's autographed.
Yeah, it's funny. Flutie Flakes out there signing autographs.
Not a bad cereal. Not a bad cereal at all.
And apparently has like pretty attractive daughters. that's what I hear. So yeah.
Doug, better watch him. Gotta watch him out.
No, but they're old. They're of age. They're not like underage.
So. Still better watch out for him. Yeah. It's like, not that way. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Possibly in and out date.
That's
all I can afford.
Yeah, but training camp is pretty cool.
Training camp, man. Football. Yeah. It's glad to see that football's back in progress and everybody's on the training camp. And yes, everybody's talking about the goddamn Peyton Manning
in Denver. Tim Tebow.
You know, it's cool, whatever. You know, if Peyton has if he does recover from it, I am worried for the Chargers because then he will be at his peak and he does have receivers already at his arsenal. And they already have a great defense on top of that. So that would make him a contender. But if Peyton doesn't actually recover from his injury, and he does play like shit, then the Broncos are nothing to worry about, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're going to have a bounty out for Peyton Manning's neck. Yeah.
And especially for that Monday night game, he's coming to San Diego before our bye week.
Yeah. No, I say bounty because of the whole Saints, New Orleans Saints bounty gate.
It doesn't even matter. There's always a bounty for him in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
Mannings are not really welcomed here.
No, they have to be careful about it, though. They can't make it public. They just got to be like, all right, I know what you mean. Bounty, right?
There'll be bounty on Denver fans. Sorry, guys. Just got to watch out for yourselves out there. I know it's going to be a family thing, but I hate when people do say that. It's a family event.
I know, family event. Meanwhile, it's like, dude, there's drunks go to soccer everywhere. Games and, you know, getting in fights.
I would not bring my kids to a football game.
Yeah.
Or seriously, I would not bring like a 6-year-old unless I'm in a club level.
Yeah. Somewhere where, like in some box seats.
Yeah, box seats. You don't bring them to the freaking view level because that's where everybody buys the even cheapest drink.
Even the plaza. It gets crazy now.
I wasn't even there yet. I was going for the view, and I was going to pass the club. The lodge actually gets hammered, and then the plaza, of course, because plaza is the diehards that save up the money to actually get those tickets. And then the view level are the ones that get them off of Craigslist.
Yeah.
Get hammered in the parking lot and walk in like I do. That's me. Drink behind, what is it, that liquor store right by McGregor's. Drink a six-pack. Walk over kind of unbalanced. Over the bridge.
Bounty on Denver fans.
Bounty on Peyton Manning. I hope his brother's here. Eli.
He's
getting a lot of props now. But since we're talking about the Monday night game, why don't we want to take a quick look at the Chargers schedule this upcoming season?
Yeah, let's take a look.
I'm excited that we're having a Monday night game here, and it's a good team, you know? We haven't had that for a while.
Yeah.
So I'm like really, I'm pumped up right now. I'm kind of excited. It might be that rock star I've drank. I don't know.
The rock star.
Rock star.
Pumping you up like a rock star.
Oh, dude. This is why. I mean, the first game of the season already. We're in Oakland Monday night.
Raider week.
And that's actually a big game, man, because the Raiders, they fell apart at the end, but they could have won the division if they just beat us last season. And they beat us 3 games in a row, and it was the final game of the season. They kind of figured they already had it in the bag, but we came out, we just annihilated them in the last game and ruined their playoff chances, which made it great for us, and I was so excited.
That game probably saved Turner's job.
It did save Turner's job.
The Chargers were playing for something, too. They were playing for their jobs. So, yeah, if the Chargers can figure that out and do the same thing, man, they don't have like a too difficult schedule, but they don't have an easy schedule. They're right in the middle of the pack, so they have a doable schedule to where they can win some games and get to the playoffs this year.
I'm gonna label that a W then. I'm just gonna mark that up right now. The next game
at Oakland. All right, I guess.
I'm calling it W still. I don't care. It's Oakland. You guys are still not anything to be feared of, in my opinion.
Yeah,
they're a good team, but we could beat them.
Yeah,
we know them so well. We play them two times a year.
They got a new coach, so they might need some adjustment time.
Palmer's gonna throw 5 picks, so all good. Next stop, Tennessee at home. First home game of the season. Now the Titans haven't really had a good O-line these past few years, and Chris Johnson finally has his contract, and he's finally in training camp this year. So I'm kind of this is kind of another half game. You really don't know. That this is going to be the playoff Titans, or is this going to be the team that came out last year, Titans?
No, the thing though, the Chargers though, they play well at home. Like they even though they kind of lost some of it last year, but they show that they can play well at home. And so I think this might be another W.
And our D line's actually looking really strong this year. So yeah. I'm kind of counting on that taking over the Tennessee O line and creating a gap or no gaps for Chris Johnson to run through. He's gonna have to bounce outside, and yeah. We actually have all of our linebackers this year that are actually not hurt. Yeah. Mouton's back in camp. Yeah. He's actually doing pretty good. I heard.
We had Larry English in there.
Larry but English, he's the backup, but still. Oh, dude, that guy. This is it for him, dude. Yeah. This is his do or die here. The wasted first round pick, who I still say we should have got Ray Maliulu from USC.
We should. He would have been a great as a Charger.
But. And it was bittersweet that game when we played the Bengals that he got the interception and that killed us. I was like, see, I knew it. I knew we should have got that guy. Yeah. But then he got arrested at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Just like most of the Bengals do anyway.
But yeah, there's a lot of depth this year on defense. Like, it's not spectacular, but the depth is there to where if someone gets injured, someone should be able to step in.
So I'm going to label that a W. Tennessee, they're not done. But this next game, even at home, it's going to be a tough one. That's Atlanta, dude. And Atlanta's going to come in full forces here because they've been having a bad couple years too as well.
Yeah, and Chargers' weakness has always been they've been able to get manhandled and by a team that's a strong running team. They've been able to get manhandled and just get run over. And Atlanta has Michael Turner. And he's just like that bowling ball running back that he just likes to smash people and run them over. So usually the Chargers' weakness.
And I think he's going to get those, like, first downs. He's not going to be a fantasy, he's not going to be a fantasy producer in that game, in my opinion, as running back. But as far as winning the game, he's going to help the Falcons a lot by getting those first downs, those couple yardages they're going to need after he does those short dump-offs to Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And they got their rookie, or now a second-year player, Julio Jones,
he's really good, yeah.
And they got Roddy White on the other side. So, I mean, they got receivers, they got running back, they got tight. They pretty much got offense.
Yeah, Atlanta looks really good. That might have to be the first
loss. I think even at home, I want it, but I'm trying to be honest here.
Yeah.
I'm very critical, but we're going to label that a loss. Now, this one, the next game, like at Kansas City, week 4.
Tough one.
The only reason why I say we can win it, but for some reason, we always have trouble in KC, no matter what.
Even when KC wasn't that good, it was still always a tough game. This always seems to be a toss-up. It always seems to come down to like the last play, the last series.
Yep. Field goal, which we're not used to, Nate hating.
I know. Nate.
I'm just saying, they're battling for the kicker spot right now, him and Novak.
Kading is definitely the favorite, but if Kading hasn't recovered well from his injury, it looks like it's going to be Novak. But right now, Kading, he still is the most accurate kicker in regular season history, even though playoffs, he's the worst probably. But
and they're keeping Novak around because he nailed the 50-yard field goals right now, something that Kading's not very good at.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out if they keep Novak on the team. Use him for kickoffs and long field goals. That'd be a big risk, but it might be worth it. It might be able to win the Chargers an extra game by keeping both of them.
I would say if they have Novak for this KC game, I say the Chargers win it on a late, about 48-yard field goal.
Yeah. That probably sounds what it's going to come down to.
I'm calling it right now.
A long field goal.
A long field goal. I'm feeling it, especially with that altitude up there.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. I think it's going to come down the field. And you know what? For once, I think the Chargers are going to choose the right kicker. If it's Kading, I'm going to have a heart attack. But either way, when somebody's kicking, we get nervous in San Diego. We had experiences in the past. So I'm going to label it a W. Because I still feel that we can pull this out over KC, who lost a couple players.
Yeah.
And not a very – they have a mediocre quarterback, by the way. Yeah. Now, this game, I don't want to just say it right away, but – You're in New Orleans.
New Orleans is still kind of a toss-up though because they don't have that coach that's suspended. So
by then though, they're going to be ready.
Yeah, they could either be really good or they could be in disarray because their current coach, I don't think he's ever had head coach experience. So that could be interesting. Yeah, if they could have it figured out by then, if they do, then New Orleans for sure. But Chargers' only kind of like hope for them to be able to pull that off might be if New Orleans is in disarray because of the coaching situation.
I still think, though, that this is going to be an L because the only reason why it's going to be week five, the Saints are already going to have the preseason and a couple games going into the regular season to tweak out those spots that they're going to have to fix. But they still have that full team they have from last year. They lost a couple receivers who we just picked up, by the way.
Yeah.
One of them. But Breeze is Breeze, and he's got his contract. He's sitting good. He's got his money. They have Mark Ingram, who's going to be healthy this year. That's their top running back, and I still think he's going to be a beast when he's given a chance. And then Darren Sproles is their dump-off guy who's going to freaking kill us, I think, with those dump-off passes. He's still got speed for those little dump-offs, dude.
Yeah, he definitely does.
And the defense, well, the Bounty, I don't know, man. There's probably something on Rivers for talking all that trash to everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I would say no.
Yeah, it's in New Orleans. On the safe side, it'd be too optimistic to call that a win. So, yeah, we'll put a loss.
And this is what I'm excited to talk about. This is the big Denver night. I still say this is the game of the year, in my opinion.
Probably, yeah. Especially for the Chargers,
This is pretty much like ESPN's going to amp it up. Or not, San Diego's going to amp it up. Because you got Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos coming to San Diego on Monday night. Monday Night Football, and god damn it, dude. It's another Manning coming back.
Yeah. It is a home game.
Home. I will be there.
It's work of class. So the Chargers have that going. I don't know. That's another one. We'll have to see how Manning is doing up to that point.
I agree. Denver has a very, very top-notch defense right now. I think they're the number one defense in the AFC West right now. They got the D-line. Their linebackers are very stout. Now, the safeties and DBs are not very good, but they're mediocre enough to keep out the receivers just enough for the D-line and linebackers to get those sacks. But I don't know, man. This one's a 50-50 just because of their defense. That's why I'm kind of...
I say because a win. It's a home game, it's a win. And it probably at Denver probably a loss, but at home it'll be a win.
I'm going for a W. So this is six games. Now we're off on a bye week. So by that bye week, we will be according to our 4-2.
4-2.
It's not bad, not bad. Then we're coming back to play at Cleveland. Yeah.
Yeah. Cleveland. You know, it's gonna be at Cleveland. Ohio. But you know they get a hard time. They haven't won a whole lot lately, but they're starting to get there. So
yeah, slowly they got that first round running back Trent Richardson.
Yeah, I still say the Chargers win it, but Cleveland could be on their way up. They could be one of those. Every year there's a surprise team. Cleveland could be that surprise team this year. So never know. But I still, for now, I call that a W for sure for the Chargers.
Same here. If they have the elite Peyton Hillis when he was at his prime, not the one that was bitching about his contract, they would definitely, I think, probably give the Chargers a run for the money. But their running back, Trent Richardson, he's going to be a rookie. And the O-line's still not that good. The quarterback still in the training mode. And they're all around. Cleveland's just not going to be ready. I mean, they'll put up a fight, but they're not going to win this one. It's another W for the Chargers.
Yeah.
And moving on to week 9 now. Now, at home, KC, W, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if we give him a W at KC.
That's a W at home.
It's got to be W at home.
I think it's a W.
It's not, again, against KC, it always comes down to, like, the last series, the last few minutes. So it might be another either Novak kick or Kaden kick. Maybe a turnover. It's going to come down to like one big play. So, but Chargers have just enough to be able to beat them.
And then we're going to Tampa Bay for week 10.
Yeah.
Now this is an interesting one. They're kind of in that rebuilding mode with Josh Freeman and the quarterback. And they just drafted my Boise State buddy over there, Doug Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Along with LeGarrette Blount, who's also, they're going to be a 1-2 punch against the Chargers. And they also guess who they got? Vincent Jackson, dude.
Vincent
D.U.I. Jackson.
Yeah. But, I mean, they still have Freeman as the quarterback. And so how well has Freeman developed? How much has he improved? Because Jackson, yeah, he's good, but he's not going to have Rivers throwing to him anymore. Yep. So I don't see how I still think the Chargers should be able to squeak do enough to win.
Yeah, this one's one of those question marks for me. It's basically how well Tampa Bay is going to actually be playing to this very point. If they're playing mediocre, they'll still get the Chargers run for their money. I think in general, because we're not the elite team that we're not predicted to be anymore. We're actually under the radar coming in. And I think that's going to be an advantage. So a lot of teams are going to underestimate us this year. So I'm kind of excited. So I would actually mark that as a W.
Yeah. So. It sounds like so far you've been really optimistic, but I like it.
But it's optimistic now because now we get to the hard part of the season. This is now we're going to week 11 at Denver. This one's going to be a loss, dude, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think we're going to split it with Denver this year.
I think a split sounds about right. At Denver, Denver's always a tough game. Peyton Manning, yeah. I see this being a tough loss for the Chargers.
And we beat them at home. I'm sure as hell Peyton's going to be ready at Denver for us to come back over there. We can't stand the mile high club over there. Yeah, and then,
At home.
Oh, God, dude.
Baltimore gets a chance at some revenge from last year.
Shit.
So this is going to be tough because Baltimore probably will not forget
that game. Yeah, Baltimore's going to be coming in very pissed off, and they're just going to – this is towards the end of the season when they're going to have to start winning those games, and Ray Lewis is going to have him prepped and ready no matter how old this guy is.
Yeah.
He still plays like he's at least 32, 31.
Yeah. Fuck. I mean, it's still, though, it could be a toss-up because it is at home.
Not with Ray Rice coming at you.
Ray Rice – yeah, I mean, I would say at this point, especially after the Denver loss, Chargers might not be able to recover. It might be a loss for the Chargers here.
Yeah, you're going to have a week to prepare for the defense of Baltimore, who never lets down. Now, go on to the next week. So we're two losses in a row. We're going to Cincinnati, or we're staying at home for Cincinnati.
Yeah. Now, you know, Cincinnati,
they're kind of lost right now, but they're still coming up with that defense right now. Their defense coming up, but their offense hasn't really improved either.
Yeah, and Cincinnati hasn't always been a good road team. I don't know for sure, but it just seems like they're very erratic, too. Like, to me, that looks like a Charger win to me.
I say 50-50, but it's at home. You're going to definitely give it to the home team in this one. It's not like playing the Ravens or the Steelers or top team. Yeah. Chargers and Rivers will be ready for this one, especially if they lost to the Ravens. They're going to want to win after that matchup against an easier foe. So I'm going to mark that as a W as well. So now, week 14. Now we get to play another good defense. This is kind of a prepping us for playoffs right here. Yeah, Pittsburgh, dude. At
Pittsburgh in December. It's probably going to be snowy.
It's going to be fucking cold.
This looks like Pittsburgh written all over it.
As much as I hate Ben Roethlisberger, this is going to be a loss.
Riding with no helmet.
God. I mean, the only thing we can get out of this game is just prepping for the playoffs if we're still fighting or contending for the division title or a wild card spot. Yeah. This will be a great game to prepare, and especially for the following week now, since I'm marking this as a loss. We're playing at home, but against Cam Newton and the new offense of Carolina. Dude, kind of excited. I actually wouldn't mind going to this game, man, to see Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, yeah.
This guy is
exciting. It's
exciting to watch.
Yeah, because he has that arm. He can definitely scramble and run. And it seems like Chargers sometimes have trouble with those scrambling quarterbacks. So,
and I was one of those guys, too, that didn't believe in Cam Newton actually producing his first year.
Yeah.
And fuck, he proved me wrong. Him and Steve Smith, how old is that guy? That guy had a fucking year, dude.
I don't know. Yeah, he did. This is going to be a tough game for Chargers. It's a toss-up for me. I don't know. I want to be optimistic, and I want to give the win to the Chargers, but I could see them losing this one. I could see
Carolina pulling away. Their offense is going to be stout. Also, our buddy Mike Tolbert is also going to be a fellow running back with D'Angelo Williams on the Carolina running back squad right there. And that offense is, in my opinion, you got Steve Smith, you got two running backs, you got a quarterback that could scramble, something that we're not able to really defend. Depending on how our linebackers are going to perform yet. But as of right now on paper, at this very point, I would say that Carolina's going to pull this one out. We're going to take a loss in this one.
Okay. I still think W, but we'll put it down as a loss to be on the safe side.
I can't really say when.
And I want to say that the Chargers are better than the Jets, but for some reason the Jets...
It's in New York, dude.
The Jets have the Chargers number for some reason or another. I don't get it, but...
Last time beating them, Brett Favre was on the squad.
Yeah.
I was at that game hammered.
So, yeah, this is going to be another loss for the Chargers, I think.
And your buddy Tim Tebow is going to be on that team.
Tebow and then Rex Ryan.
He's going to be praying every time he holds a field goal kick. Yeah. You know he's a holder, right?
I wonder if Tebow's going to be changing up the Tebowing pose.
I hope somebody throws a fucking hamburger at his face or something. Yeah. I don't hate the guy. It's just annoying. I just hate the media for portraying him so much. It's irritating. It's kind of redundant.
I guess. It is a bit redundant, but he does go over the top a bit with his... Tebowing and praying after every play almost. So yeah.
I wonder if they lose the game because of him. The media is gonna over portray me. Be like, guys, Jesus said that if we pray, if we just play a little harder, we can win this. And then the media's gonna be like, that's not enough. Where is he?
I know.
And Jesus comes out of nowhere. Hey guys, are we doing a conference here? No. Yeah. I feel like it's gonna descend down for the New York Jets,
but. Nah, I mean, I don't know. To me, it seems like it could be a distraction, but, you know, that's why they got him. The Jets, I guess, they love attention. They want to sell out their stadium, so that's why they got him. They want that drama. Rex Ryan seems to enjoy that, so he's a good fit for that team. And, Jets, for some reason, they have the Chargers number.
And then we're going to finish off the season at home, just like we finished it or started it with the season. We're going to end it with the Raiders coming to San Diego. And that one is going to be a marked-up win because at that point, if we do win that game, we're looking at – how many wins are we looking at now? Three, nine. Four, nine wins? Yeah, it's kind of looking like last year.
Yeah.
Almost.
Nine so wins. There's like key games, like the Chargers
9-7 year
against Denver, Baltimore. If the Chargers win against Pittsburgh or Carolina, Baltimore, or at Denver, those could be like a turn those turnaround games that you look for during the year.
I think it's gonna start with Carolina. I wouldn't say Pittsburgh because that's on paper that's not looking like a win. I would say Carolina. In New York, those are the games like we're going to have to win to even think about getting the playoffs if we're on a decent road to playoff victory here. If.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's doable, but the Chargers are going to show that they've improved like a lot or they might just need some luck and like a bunch of players on other teams have to get injured or something. But, you know, if everyone were healthy in the league, the Chargers would have to like improve greatly and show that they're a different team from last year.
It's going to be an interesting year, man, and I can't fucking wait. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm fucking hyped. Oh, yeah, so Norv, you punk ass. Like, dude, all right, like, I have nothing against him as a person, but as a coach, it's so irritating to watch Norv just stand there with the look, not calling timeouts, getting delay of games. Pouting with the clipboard hiding his face and looking at Rivers. Rivers just pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they've addressed a lot of the issues from last year, like the game clock managing. They hired a special assignments coach that's going to be in charge of, you know, managing the clock. So
hopefully he's not related to Norv Turner.
Yeah. You know, it looks like they made improvements. They did a real evaluation this time. And they were really honest with themselves because it looks like they added players where they knew they had weaknesses. They looked at where they had struggles, and they've improved in those areas. So now those improvements and those changes need to take effect, and you know they need to show on the field with victories.
Norv still sucks, in my opinion. Like, he does. He was never be a Super Bowl winning coach. He could prove me wrong this year if he does, but. Oh, I mean, man. I still say from that very time that Marty Schottenheimer got fired I said, okay, if you're going to fire Marty, you better bring in a good coach. And then I hear Norv Turner's name pop up. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
From the Raiders, this guy?
Yeah, I know.
He's like one of those offensive coordinators that just needs to stay at that position and not go to head coach. He doesn't really know how to manage a team.
Yeah. So, this is the year where he has to prove that he's the real head coach, because he has everything that he needs. He just has to get this team motivated, get this team winning. And, I mean, he has, like I said, everything he needs. So
step the fuck up, Norv.
This might be his last year. He might be on a short leash this year. Hopefully, they only give him maybe to the open date.
Put the team on your back, man. Come on. Yeah. God, Greg Jennings, that shit, dude. Seriously. Fucking people are getting irritated. They want to see results. And I know it's a San Diego thing that we always want immediate results, but we do. And we know we can. That's the thing. We know we can get these victories. But it's a matter of like luck going our way if it's coached right. You know, the fundamentals of the game, time management, getting the players ready, none of this going out before playoff games. That's why Jackson's gone. I think a lot of people didn't really care he left. Yeah, he was a good fantasy producer, and he was a decent target, and he did change the passing game. But we're not really mourning him too much. Maybe we will in this season, but we do have other receivers stepping up along the game. Like Robert Meacham.
Yeah.
I'm definitely excited to see him. And Vincent Brown. I want to see how he does from San Diego State.
Yeah, Vincent Brown looks like he's on the way up, so it's going to be a big year for him, I think.
He could be a good slot receiver, man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm counting him as.
Yeah.
And then Gates and then Ladarius Green, the rookie.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how much he's going to be able to play this year because of Gates and, you know, McMichael and Dante Rosario.
One of them is going to get dropped. I think Rosario would get dropped, in my opinion. Not McMichael. Because McMichael knows the system too well, they won't drop him.
I see the Chargers keeping four tight ends, though. They might keep Rosario and Green and McMichael and Gates, because they might do a lot more two tight end sets because of what the Patriots were able to do last year. You know, copycat league, they might do the same thing, and they might need four of them.
Yeah, if it works, it works. Don't care if it's copycat. Belichick stole it from everybody.
Yeah.
Shirtless bastard.
You know.
But all right, we're going to go from there real quick. Just a reminder, August 4th is going to be the Chargers Fan Fest at Qualcomm Stadium. Go to chargers.com. Check out the ticket information. I believe it's at 9:30. They're going to open the gates in the morning. And the Chargers are going to have their official practice around 10:30. And it'll end at 12:30. So if you guys are not doing anything that morning, go ahead and check it out. You'll be around Charger fans. And hell yeah, man. Represent. SD. Yeah. And going on to the Olympics for just a quick couple minutes. The exhibition, undefeated, USA team, man.
For basketball, yeah, they did pretty good. I mean, after all those claims about competing against the 92 Dream Team. They're kind of like, They kind of have to show, we're going to win this gold easy. And then they can put like a real argument that they are maybe competitive versus the 92 Dream Team.
Dude, we're talking about, or you mentioned it, I'm really thinking about now. Dude, they don't fucking win the gold. You know how much shit they're going to get from everybody?
Yeah. It's going to be a huge disappointment. But, I mean, I don't see what team could beat them.
Brazil gave them kind of a little run, but
I guess Brazil, maybe Spain, but they had an exhibition game against Spain, and U.S. won easy. So.
Yeah, they dominated. Gasol couldn't do anything.
Yeah, U.S., man, they're the favorites. They should win.
And they're playing this Sunday is going to be the opener over in, they're playing France. And their star player is Tony Parker. I only know him because he married Eva Longoria, which I think is really hot.
But they're divorced now.
Yeah, you missed out, Brody. You missed out. And that game's going to be on Pacific time, our time, SD time. It's going to be at 6:30 a.m. in the morning if you want to watch the game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. If you wake up really early, you get to watch some basketball. You normally don't get to do that.
Yeah.
It's like waking up at 3 a.m. for World Cup soccer. I like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, cheer on for your for the U.S. and the other events. Make sure the U.S. beats out China in the medal department. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then real quick, also, I want to say shout out to San Diego State football. Their season's coming up as well. We got a couple nominees for this upcoming season. San Diego State defensive back Leon McFadden is nominated already for the preseason Defensive Player of the Year award for the Mountain West. Dude's going to be a beast and probably at least a early to mid-round draft pick, in my opinion, for the next year's NFL draft. And then also the other top prospect for San Diego State, Gavin Escobar, is going to be up for the Mackey tight end award. And he's like 6'6", 255 pounds, 260. The dude's he's a beast mode. He's been beasting already these past few years.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the state, they start off the season against Washington, up in Washington. So yeah, they have a tough first game, Pac-12. You know, this is another year where the state, they might not show a whole lot of improvement because they lost a lot of seniors. But, you know, Rocky Long, he has to coach. He has to make sure that he maintains the winning kind of attitude that they've had the past few years.
And he does have that defensive mentality, and I do like his stern coaching.
Yeah,
he is pretty stern.
It's the old school style, which is good because in San Diego you don't have that too much here in San Diego. There's more of a laid back attitude, so having that old school mentality is really good.
He was saying to some of the recruited players, he's like, if those guys ever said anything, oh, I'm thinking about San Diego State because of the weather, or girls, like, he's like, I'm going to pass on them. I don't care who they are. I'm just going to pass because they're not going to be focused. They're not going to want to come and play hard. They're just coming here for, like, a vacation, just playing, like, fucking homeboy from Blue Mountain State. Just going to be, like, the backup fucking quarterback and shit. Or backup guy and just coast along the season and
pick
party.
Pick up girls and, you know, enjoy the weather.
Which is not bad because San Diego State's fucking full of hot girls, by the way.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about their schedule probably next episode that we get a chance, because I'm kind of interested in it too. Yeah. You know, see how they come out. The opener is definitely going to be a test of will for their season, because Washington's a powerhouse. They're upcoming right now in the Pac-12.
Yeah. And we're going to be working on like a bonus episode, or not really a bonus. Our next episode should be more emphasis on fantasy football. We're going to have like a live draft kind of deal.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that, man. I've been kind of craving fantasy football, man. Once I heard training camp, I thought immediately of fantasy football. I mean, taking the title.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Sheba home, man. The Sheba.
Yeah, so we'll have an episode with fantasy football, and we'll do like a quick update on some of the sports that happen, maybe towards the end of that episode. And that'll be next week.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be excited for that.
Yeah.
Oh man, well, so we could do a quick we're gonna do a quick episode next week, and then we'll finish off with fantasy football. And this is Paul from Garage Sports San Diego, my co-host
Fernando.
Yeah man, we did it big, and thanks for listening, guys. Like us on our Facebook page at Garage Sports San Diego, and thank you guys very much for listening. And
yeah, hope thanks you'll be again back. Guys, thanks for checking in,
and hope you'll be back next week. Laters San Diego. Yeah. Yeah.